At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
ESPN 97.5,
KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like adultery. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
We lost Pena. I don't know what TV show you want to ask me about. I got to watch, I think, Pluribus. Third episode was last night, so I'll watch that tonight on Apple TV+. Sean, YouTube TV and Disney are inching closer to a deal, so maybe we might have access to the networks that are ESPN for the games on Saturday.
That's all I need.
You got Georgia versus Texas.
Take your time. Until tomorrow.
Yeah, let's figure it out. I need
close the business tomorrow.
Yeah, I need this to come down about 5 p.m.
Yeah, 5 p.m. Friday.
Yeah, there it is. The games will be there.
Is there a weeknight game that I'm interested in?
No, they don't want to compete with the NFL. Well, maybe there's a Friday game. I'm sure there's a Friday game, but it might be better on Fox. You know, Clemson-Louisville is on ESPN.
Clemson-Louisville.
I mean, it's big for anyone who cares about the ACC. Clemson now playing spoiler. They can give Louisville.
Either die a hero, live long enough to see yourself become
the ACC spoiler. Clemson's now.
I mean, Clemson probably will win now that we've talked about it.
Yeah. Clemson's now in a spot where they have to try to ruin Louisville's chances of either making the playoff or the title game. Louisville didn't help their chances when they lost to Cal last week, but Clemson can really bury them with the win on ESPN tomorrow in Louisville. So that's if we're talking about names and rankings for tomorrow. And also, Oregon, they do play a 6-3 Minnesota team on Fox. So you do have a couple ranked teams with plenty to play for in college football on Friday night. And then, of course, the rest of the weekend is there. All right, let's get to Scott Boras. He is the agent for Alex Bregman, along with other big names like Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown, we don't have to worry about so much as far as Scott Boras and how much he's going to ask for a couple of years. It'll eventually be a worry, but more like a foregone conclusion, it feels like. But that's in the future. Scott Boras, in the present, is apparently doing some version of stand-up. I'm not sure what he's on. I'm not sure if this is ad-libbing or he wrote this knowing he was going to be in front of cameras and microphones. So, of course, Alex Bregman opts out. There's interest in where the former Astro and maybe now former Red Sox is going to play. So Boras gets to talk. People want to hear from him. Here's Scott Boras on Alex Bregman.
I would certainly think that, you know, like in Boston, you know, we learned a lot about Bregman in 25. Because in Boston, prior to 25, they had a lot of lineup holes, and certainly prior to 25, Boston has been a kind of a club that's been has Duncan well below the playoff line. So I think it was a bad roast in Beantown, and certainly and give the owners credit in 25, you know, they went out and spent some Starbucks to bring in a Bregman blend that led them to the playoffs. So I'm sure the Boston fans don't want this to be just a cup of coffee. And no one wants a Brexit.
It's
last one wasn't bad.
That's fine.
It wasn't bad.
It got the biggest laugh. The rest of it, anyone who snickered or even gave him a fake smile, you should be embarrassed. I get it. He's Scott Boras, but he's up there doing his routine. You ain't got to laugh. The last one, the Brexit. Okay, cool, whatever. The rest of it, the do not. Right? He said do not
holes.
Do not holes. Cup of coffee. Maybe if he had thrown in a Lance McCullers reference, who was another one of his clients.
Yeah.
I would, okay.
I did tie spend it a second in. Me like, wait, was Bregman involved in a coffee thing?
Or? No. I don't know why. Starbucks, it's all.
No.
This is the guy who everyone has to bend their knee to, and this is why he does it. Because you do, no matter what he does. I think at this point he's just testing the waters. What the hell can I get away with?
I pulled the Tarek school.
And this is from the same weekend?
This is also yesterday? From yesterday.
Okay, so he was on one.
Yes, he represents Tarek Skubal. I think you'll listen to this. I think he comes in with like note cards or whatever.
Probably
that he had, or he does. He's not reading anything. He is just
doing it from
standing
memory.
Standing there with his hands.
But I think
in the
he's
pocket.
Doing it from memory, not from off the top of the dome.
But I do think he spends like 2 days.
He worked on
memorizing
this
routine, yes,
to make sure he had the proper order.
He probably has like. Other people at the firm.
Writing it for him? He's got writers, right?
I'm not. You know what? I'm not going to put that on Scott Boras. That actually stepped too far. That might be unfair.
He's not a rapper from Toronto. You can put it on if you want.
You be the judge. Here's him talking about Tarek Skubal.
All right.
All we know is that the fans in Detroit want the Tigers to build a Tarek Barrick. You know, they... you know, Little Caesars running around town saying "Sai Sai," so it's a kind of thing where he's built a base. Obviously, everywhere they go, they know it's Skubal Day. They understand that organization is substantially different if he's not there, and. You know, when you're in these situations and you go through it, all we know is that we hear mostly from the fans, and the player hears from the fans, and it's kind of like it should be Scooby done, right? And if not, I think the fans would certainly think it's a Detroit doink if they don't.
That one somehow is much worse than the Bregman one. He didn't even get a laugh out of anyone. That's how you know it's bad. Like, I don't know if that's the Tiger media saying, all right, we're done with you. I don't know who made up the first group of people who had to sit through it, like the Bregman stuff, but whoever got to him about the Skubal thing either had heard the Bregman thing and, all right,
yeah,
cut it out,
I think
Scott.
I think the patience, it's like, all
the
right,
patience
we're
has
pity
worn,
left. Yeah,
has worn thin with him.
But in his mind, he's like, I'm,
and I guess Sai Sai is pizza because he mentioned Little Caesars.
I guess. I don't know. Maybe that's maybe that's a thing Julius Caesar actually said.
Sai Sai, I don't know.
It's either way. Vaguely, yeah.
I can't but believe.
This is where it just.
I can't believe this
it,
is the
it
guy.
It should be Scooby done, right? And if not, I think the fans would certainly think it's a Detroit doink if they don't.
That's insulting to Jerry Seinfeld, honestly. You are besmirching the name of Seinfeld and what Larry David created. How dare you? That's atrocious.
That's what's going on in his head.
Oh, he thinks he's killing, right?
He's like...
He works clean?
Yeah.
So he thinks he's Seinfeld?
He works very clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes like, you know, Tarek Barrack. Yeah, you know, they're going to build him a Tarek Barrack. Every day is Skubal Day.
I just want everyone to remember this. When the Hunter Brown stuff comes up.
Oh, my God.
This is the guy that Jim Crane has to deal with.
Oh, my God. Okay, so you got Hunter. His name being Hunter, so he's big game hunting.
Oh, you're thinking about what the bit he's going to do.
I want to be in the writer's room, Scott Boras. I feel like I could help.
Oh, what can Brown do for you?
What can Brown do for you? Diesel is his nickname.
Yeah. You know that he adds the diesel.
Yes.
To this Astros organization.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely some, like, and if you lose them, Houston.
Goes from.
You're going to have a problem.
Or they go from the hunted to a hunter. Come on. Hey, Scott, I'm here for you. Wow. this guy. You hear the name Scott Boris and you immediately get, oh no, he's gonna rip apart my team or make my team pay a lot of money.
Now what I think about is you know, sigh.
Jeez. When you get to a level that he's at, he can just do these things and at least get to a point where he feels like he can do these things.
We talk about with musicians, with actors, with like director, with people who make shows, how it's like who in the room at this point is going to sit there and tell this accomplished person like that's a dumb idea.
Yeah.
I think Scott Boras has reached that point as an agent where it's like no one in his life is like, this is stupid. Yeah. You can't do this.
Don't do this.
Don't do this. Maybe one. That I think that's the worst part is that this clip is over a minute long and I cut off some of it. This and he's like stammering through parts of it, like trying to. That's why I think this isn't off the top of his head. He is like sitting there being like, oh, Tarek Barrack already said that one. Sci, Lil Caesar. Yeah, Scoobal Day or Scooby Day or whatever. It's Scooby Done. That's what it was.
Sometimes there's a thing called overexposure. Scott Boras, you had the mystique of being the super agent.
Anytime
a big name comes up, they're going to think about you because they know you're going to get them the most money they can.
Mark Teixeira is represented by Scott Boras.
You don't want to ruin the mystique, and he's ruined it, at least with me.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Now, I know he will get Bregman the money. He will get Hunter Brown far more money than the Astros will be willing to pay. But from this point on, I know that the most important power player in baseball is just a corny dude who isn't funny, and no one will tell him he's not funny.
If the Astros lose Hunter Brown, they have to play him the playoffs. There'll be a brown streak in the back of their pants.
Billy. And then we can work in Billy Brown.
Billy Brown.
I don't have an aqueduct here, but we can work him into. You're going to have to call Billy Brown.
Billy Brown.
To clean up the brown streak that Hunter Brown left. Atrocious. Well, just know, when Dana Brown is talking about the possibility of bringing back Hunter Brown, that's the guy who he's. Who was it this past year where Dana Brown was talking about having discussions that weren't closed off? Who was the player?
Was it Jeremy Pena?
No, we were talking about Bregman.
Oh, because Pena's also.
Yeah, now he's a Scott Boras guy too, so that's coming down the pike as well. But he said, yeah, me and Scott kind of have a back and forth, and then we kind of deciphered it, and there was really nothing going on. The Astros had their deal their offer, and it was never something that the Scott Boras comedy troupe was ever going to take. But this is the guy that Dana Brown was dealing with. Well, Dana Brown, and then whatever bit he had for Bregman. Do you think Dana Brown heard the Bregman bit first before anyone else?
So that's a good question. Is this only for PR? Is this only for the public side? This is to get the media, you know, a quote. This is to get radio shows something to play.
Or is he like this?
Or closed doors when he's sitting across the table from Dana Brown or from Brian Cashman, from George Steinbrenner back in the day? Is he like looking at a note card where it's like, you need to give Mo Rivera Mo money or else you're going to have, flips over a card, Mo problems.
And you can't hang up on him because he's representing Mariano Rivera. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe this has been going on for 25 years and he's just now bringing it publicly out to be mocked.
Yeah, maybe this is a – how old is Scott Boras? He has to be like 65.
At least, right?
Maybe this is like him becoming like – I guess it's too old for dorky dad.
He's 73.
73. So, yeah, this is like – you know, my grandkids really like it when I make these dumb jokes. So
around baseball players?
Yeah, so now Boston media has to gather around and chuckle at coffee jokes.
They didn't have to. But there's a thing.
Detroit media, no.
Whoever had to listen to the Scooble thing was not having it. Like, man, we got Dan Campbell. We got the Lions. We ain't got to listen to you do this.
Yeah. Do you think, how many more years of doing this before it like evolves and the media bring like tomatoes to throw at him.
Or just boo him.
You know what? I think if Chandler Rome is still covering the Astros when Hunter Brown ordeal happens, like the winter before, he is like -250 to maybe not boo, but to like be caught on camera rolling his eyes.
Yeah.
He'll be the guy next to Scott Boras, yeah, like holding up a microphone.
Say he gets there a little late, or he's there early, he just wants to stand on the side.
And someone on the other side is filming it, but you can see Chandler Rome, and then he goes, you know, what can Brown do for you? And he goes,
this guy stinks!
Yeah.
Ugh. Again.
It gets caught on audio, and I'm just going, ugh.
Awful. All right, there it is.
Scott Boras, ladies and gentlemen.
The biggest power player in baseball.
I'll be here all week at the GM meetings.
Now, I'm glad I missed whatever he had to say about Juan Soto. Appreciate that. All right, we'll go to break with that.
A magic wand for your lineup.
Well, sure. Maybe you're actually writing for Scott Boras.
I should. I think you could.
You came up with that pretty quickly.
I think I could. I'd save him a lot of time.
Doesn't take
that much. Because you don't have to think of a good idea. It's just the first idea.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of
edits.
Yeah,
no. I don't know what the rough draft looks like.
All right, thanks, Hunter Brown, for asking this guy to represent you. Now we have to deal with him in a couple years. We'll go to break with that. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. We got a couple more things to do before we're out of here. We'd love to have you with us. Let's hear from someone with more cogent thoughts. AJ Brown. When we come back, the Eagles are. They're not entertaining, as evidenced by Monday night, but they still win football games. But A.J. Brown, maybe a little more self-aware than we think about what the Eagles are and what they should be. We'll hear from A.J. Brown when we come back.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea.
The Eagles have a game against the Lions coming up. After what the Eagles did to the Packers, they certainly remove the Packers, at least in my eyes, from a serious contender. I have my issues believing in Jordan Love, and the Packers have also lost to the Panthers and the Browns. The Panthers at home, the Browns on the road. Now, the Panthers are okay. The Browns are awful. I don't know if there is a stat that says if you lose to a team that's going to pick in the top five of the NFL draft, you can't win a Super Bowl. I'm sure it's happened before. I'm sure some team has lost to a really bad team and then went on to win a Super Bowl. I just don't think the Packers are going to be it. That's my thought. So, the Lions, even after getting smoked by the Packers in week one, have rebounded. Dan Campbell's now their play caller. And the Lions offense was just fine in his first outing. Now, the Commanders, who they played, are bad defensively, so bad that Dan Quinn is now taking over the play calling as a head coach. So maybe the Eagles will provide a bigger challenge to the Lions, certainly with Vic Fangio. They made the acquisition of Jalen Phillips, and they held the Packers to 7 points on Monday night. But they only scored 10 themselves, and that was bothersome to A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown, who went on a Twitch stream, his own Twitch stream, and said the offense is kind of a bleep show. When asked about everything good, he go, family's good, but everything else, have you see what's going on? So, of course,
he also said, if you have me in fantasy, drop me.
Yeah, he is being, I said before we went to break, someone who's apparently very self-aware. But he's a receiver, so people are going to, you weren't happy when you won the Super Bowl, and you did the whole reading of the book thing. So there are people questioning if he's a team first guy. This is like 45 seconds of an 8-minute availability he had yesterday. Here, you make the decision, or at least your thoughts on this 45 seconds of A.J. Brown talking about what he thinks is wrong with the Eagles' offense.
Now, last year, what it was, thank you for the ring, but it's a new season. They adapted. We have to adapt, and we have to continue to, like, get better and try to find new ways. So that's where the frustration comes in, because it's not about winning, you guys. Like, I want to win, yes. I want to help contribute as well, do our thing on offense as well. That's think that's fair. I don't care if I'm misunderstood. Like, I stand up in front of it and fall on that sword over and over again. Like, it's about doing what we're supposed to be doing on offense. And if we are really in this business for trying to get better, we got to do what we got to do. And not just say, oh, it's about wins. So, like, as long as we got the win, it's cool. No, no, you cannot do that. Not in this league. We got to continue to get better. We got to do what we have to do on offense to help the defense, to help the special teams.
Now, that's just 45 seconds or so, but I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, there's a standard that he doesn't think his offense is playing to, and you don't want to be a one-sided team. You don't want to have the defense, and I guess you'd even include special teams. They block kicks to win a game against the Rams. You don't want to be a team who has Super Bowl aspirations, and you be the reason why people are questioning it.
Yeah, especially because you're a team that has, what, made two Super Bowls, one last year. Like, I feel like it's something that we can see on the outside that's like, this team, there's something missing, especially with the offense. Like, the offense is not the same as it was last year. It's not as explosive. And if you're a guy who, I mean, I just pulled up, it was 2023, the Eagles started the season 10-1. And then they
fell apart.
Yeah, they lost five of their last six and lost in the first round, in the wild card round of the playoffs. Like, this is a team that, like, they know what, like, right feels like, what right looks like when they're right. And right now, it's not it.
And you think about the team in our city, it's to a larger extreme, and they don't have the history of winning big. But we see it week to week where the defense is carrying an offense that can't even get to average play. Now, we'll see this week. Certainly a lesser opponent than what the Eagles are going to have to face. They got the Lions, but
yeah.
You see what a bad unit can do to even destroy a season when you have an elite unit on the other side.
I wonder if the A.J. Brown way of doing things would, because that's not what the Texans do.
No.
When the offense,
Nico Collins would not.
No, no
guy.
One. No,
yeah,
like,
no one. Yeah,
it's all, we're close. You know, we feel like we're doing some good things. You know, it's like, we've heard it all. It's been a season and a half of this so far. You know, of just like the everything is fine, dog, in the meme, like, where it's like the house is burning on offense, but it's like, we're winning games, so yeah. Everyone should be positive about it, really. And so,
and even when they're not winning games, there are questions about why we're so negative.
Yeah, and so on the other hand, you have a team that has been the most successful team of the last decade in the NFL.
Certainly in the NFC.
In the NFC. And they're sitting at, what, 7-2, 7-3, whatever they're at. And they're like, no, this isn't good enough. Their best player on offense, like, no, this isn't good enough.
And maybe Kevin Petullo doesn't survive the year. He is the new play caller for the Eagles. Nick Sirianni apparently hits every other year when it comes to additions.
Just, hey. Give me another dice roll.
Yeah.
These next two will be head coaches. I guarantee you.
Yeah. He hit on certainly Fangio, who's back on the defensive side. He hit on Kellen Moore, who had experience calling plays elsewhere. And he goes to be the Saints head coach. Kevin Petullo, I think, was in-house, and they promoted him.
That sounds right.
If you remember, the previous time before Kellen Moore, I think Brian Johnson took over for Steichen, right?
It was, I know they had Steichen and Gannon. Steichen went on offense, Gannon on defense.
Steichen was the OC. Got, of course, they lose in the Super Bowl to the Chiefs. He takes a Colts job. I think they promote Brian Johnson from within. It doesn't work out. He goes to the outside, hires Kellen Moore,
and then
promotes Kevin Petullo from within. And right now, the offense, they're not bad for our scoring points, like 12th in the league, but they're in the 20s in some of the other metrics, so they have not performed up to their potential. And as you pointed out, they were a good team on paper in 2023, 10-1. But the metrics would tell you a fall was coming. They're playing above actually how they were playing. They were winning more games than they should have, considering how they were playing, and then it all fell apart, and they got smoked by the Bucks in a wild card game.
Yeah, I mean, you can just look at the passing offense. Just not – their passing offense is one – just that total yards, 144, 94, 202, 112, 250, 260, 316, 150, 183. Like, more often than not, they throw for less than 200 yards. And this is a team with Super Bowl MVP at quarterback with two awesome receivers and a good tight end. Like, there's no reason that they're this bad. And a running back
that
should give you some heavy boxes.
And the great O-line.
Yes. Like, there's something that just is not working.
I would – look, I don't need to give Sirianni advice. I'm not looking for that trash-ass city, dirty-ass trash-ass city to win anything more. But, hey, stop promoting from within.
That is tough. It's tough when you're, like, so successful as a head coach that's like, I keep having to hire – OCs. And like, I mean, the last one, at least the last one, I know Kellen Moore, this was the case. I'm not sure about Fangio, where it was basically Howie Roseman, like, let me tell you who to hire situation.
Well, if we go back to last,
because he got called into the office,
yeah, and they were still questioning whether they're going to keep him. And yeah. I guess he, at least according to some, he had to acquiesce and go, okay, you guys can make these hires. I got to take my hands off. And people were going, as they were winning games, but he wasn't, of course, they hadn't won Super Bowl yet. People were wondering, what does he do? Why?
Yeah, what exactly?
Is there a reason we keep him around when Kellen Moore is running the offense and Vic Fangio is running the defense?
He's a former OC or quarterback coach who you don't want involved in the offense, but also, so then he has to be like the CEO.
The vibes.
CEO vibes guy. Yeah. And it's like, also the vibes don't seem like they're awesome all the time.
Yeah. He was hired from the Colts as an OC to be their head coach in 2021. And then Steichen was like,
heard Indy was nice.
Yeah, I'm going over there.
Your house still on the market?
You know, yeah. And all it took was Daniel Jones to like jumpstart the Colts and Shane Steichen's tenure there. So, as I said, it was like 8 minutes of it. But listening to it, sure, the Twitch stuff is a little, I can't believe he said that.
It's the packaging.
Yeah, but standing in front of the media, that seemed like a very reasonable thing to say, hey, the standard, we're not meeting it, and we need to step it up. But when you get when you're a receiver, you get the tag of being a diva. It didn't help, as I mentioned, that he was reading a book. What was it, during the Super Bowl?
I think it started
before that, right?
Before that.
Yeah. But either way,
I feel like once you get called out on that, you have to like double down.
An active player reading a book during the game, it looks bad.
It's a bit much.
Yeah. I think this is to a certain extent.
I think he's
maybe
right.
A guy who just sees what's going on and is trying to get ahead of it before.
Yeah, there's also the level.
There's no stopping it.
There's a level of like maybe he's not. Maybe it isn't like ultimate winner type of mentality of like this is like I know that we can do better. Maybe it is just rooted in like I want to have big numbers.
Possibly. That's what people, some people think.
That also doesn't mean he's wrong.
You know what happened?
Like I think he's right no matter what.
If AJ Brown has big numbers, the Eagles do well. They'll be fine. They'll be more than fine if he has big numbers.
Yeah, I think no matter what, like he is right to be upset. It is just like where the place is, like what, you know, is it coming from ego? Is it coming from wanting to win? Either way, you're right. Like I don't think anyone can deny that their offense is disappointing.
All right, we'll come back with some sound from Matt Burke. He's talking about the AFC offensive player or defensive player of the week. Daniel Hunter, excuse me, 3.5 sacks, multiple tackles for loss, just a game wrecker in the Texans' comeback against the Jaguars. So we'll hear from the Texans' DC on a star defensive end when we get back.
But first, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app, the best way to make a little bit of money while you're watching the football action this season, football or basketball action right now. So we got Thursday night football tonight. We got Patriots. We got Jets. AFC East matchup. These two teams plain don't like each other. Remember all those great the two good matchups they had in the playoffs 15 years ago? Well, it's been a long time since then, and turns out the Patriots are still good. They were bad for a little bit. Now they're good again. And Drake May is a big reason why. Drake May and his downfield passing attack that he seems to be the best in the league at the deep ball. So give me more than 236.5 passing yards for Drake May tonight against the Jets. A Jets team that revamped their defense, but not in the good way. They trade away their two best players on defense, so I think Drake May can go off. And then Justin Fields, give me less than 136.5 passing yards for Justin Fields. Garbage time is scary with this one, but you also have to remember that Justin Fields is coming off of throwing for 54 yards last week. 54. And a game prior to that, or two games prior to that, he was also in the 40s. So there's a good chance that I'm not even sweating this. There's a chance he gets benched tonight. So we'll keep an eye on that. So give me the less on Justin Fields' passing yards. Give me the more on Drake May's passing yards. If football is not your thing, well, guess what? They have so many options on Prize Picks. Whatever sport you're interested in, you can get involved there. I mean, I see a handball tab. I see darts. I see beach volleyball, badminton, hockey, whatever you want. It's on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks. Get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So we got a couple of audio pieces to get to. We're going to find out why City Sal was playing. Nick Kelly was asked about his offensive line, and he talked about how, I don't know if he actually got into how they came to the conclusion that City Sal would be a better option, but at least they gave a reason why the guy who only played 9 snaps and was a disaster was starting in their game against the Jags. We're going to hear from Matt Burke up here right now on Danielle Hunter, and then we're going to hear from a mystery coach on Danielle Hunter as well. This guy's been a star on this show before, so you'll recognize him. But first, Matt Burke on his defensive end, and then our mystery coach on Danielle Hunter.
Honestly, in both phases, I think probably underrated a little bit of just how we set edges and playing the run. I mean, obviously the sack production was there. Really just felt like his get off and his like surge in the rush was just very consistent. Like, man, wasn't wasting any movement. Just really had some just real efficient, like really elite rushes. And then just the way he set edge in the run game, I mean, obviously the TFL numbers and stuff really helped us snuff out a couple things on the perimeter. So deservingly awarded that honor, and hopefully we can keep that going. Sometimes we joke, you know, he had, I think, 4 games where he hadn't had a sack. So sometimes you got to see the ball go in the net and then it opens up. So hopefully he can keep that momentum going.
Pretty good to have Danielle Hunter as the other guy, the guy everyone thinks it's second best when it comes to your DNs, a guy who's going to be historically one of the best sack guys of all time.
The guy who's not like the name on the marquee of the, I mean, I guess he's, you know, part of the group, but it's not the number one guy on your defense. And I'm pretty sure he's a over 100 sacks career guy. So yeah, something. So it's a real benefit.
107.
Yeah.
107 sacks on his way to, I don't know how a lot of it gets determined, but we're talking at least Hall of Fame consideration for the Nolan. If he does it for a couple more years.
Yeah, and probably like if he's able to play like this on a team that wins a Super Bowl, that would really help.
Postseason success would help, certainly. He's on the verge of having his 4 straight double-digit sack season. He's 7.5 right now, thanks to the performance on Sunday. So he's on track to get that again after the 12 he got last year. So, yeah. The other guy, and still a double-digit sack guy. So that is a rather, let's say, coach-like, normal response to what one of your guys does in a game you had to have. Here's our mystery coach on what he saw from Danielle Hunter on Sunday.
Danielle Hunter of the Houston Texans. You know, they're down 29-10 to the Jacksonville Jaguars in the fourth quarter, but they just keep on swinging, and nobody landed more punches than Danielle Hunter.
Got me feeling
4 sacks! Motor! Power, speed, a wrecking machine indeed.
Oh! Well, gotta love Gruden.
indeed. I will say that was 19 seconds. Matt Burke was 40-something.
Yeah. I got more out of the 19 than I got out of the 40. I gotta admit.
Power, speed.
A wrecking machine.
Wrecking machine.
Better than Scott Boras, too. And we're talking about Ryan.
With the pin? Yeah.
Yeah, better pin, John Gruden, or whoever his writers are, than Scott Boras. Can I hear that again?
Yeah, sure.
Danielle Hunter of the Houston Texans. You know, they're down 29-10 to the Jacksonville Jaguars in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
but they just keep on swinging. and nobody landed more punches than Daniil Hunter.
Got me feeling
four sacks! Motor, power, speed, a wrecking machine indeed.
Oh! Come on! How can you not love that?
I can't believe no one landed more punches than Azeez Al-Shaair on the Texas defense. That's most weeks it's him.
That's true, but this time
it was Daniil Hunter
within
power,
the whistle,
speed,
and legally,
and not to a backup running back standing on the sideline.
Yeah, to the starting quarterback for the Jags and wrecking any chance they had of holding off the Texans. Got me feeling what?
Nicey.
Nice.
Got me feeling really nicey.
How do we incorporate that? Like, if Daniil Hunter has another great game, we're going to have a clip from Gruden, like we have with Stroud. It doesn't look like we're going to be able to play Stroud against the Titans because he missed practice yesterday. We'll see if he's out there today.
Need Davis Mills to get some love from Coach Gruden.
I just need him to talk about the Texans, man.
Got me feeling
four sacks! Motor, power, speed, a wrecking machine indeed.
Oh! That can almost be a Rockets one, too. Power, speed, wrecking machine. It's kind of Rockets basketball.
Yeah, the Terra Twins, yeah.
Yeah, that's Amin Thompson.
I would agree.
No one can land. Also, no one lands more punches than Amin Thompson.
As far as the Rockets are concerned, yeah. He is the one to. He is the most likely to put his hands on someone else in a legal and possibly get his ass thrown out of a game fashion. Yes.
Yeah, we mentioned the quote earlier in the show where Reed Shepard said that basically Amin Thompson walked up to him one day and was like, hey, if you keep dribbling before you shoot it,
if you keep turning down open shots.
Yeah, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
And then they asked Amin Thompson, he's like, yeah, I said that.
Yeah.
And someone quotes you with the picture of him and Tyler Hero, and they're like, believe him, Reed. Believe him. Yeah. When he says it, believe him.
Yeah, this is a guy who doesn't mind shooting at all.
No.
And he tossed him to the side. You don't want to test him. Yeah. Let's get to this Nick Caley thing. Have him explain to us why a guy most of us had never heard of was starting early in that game. City Sal played very few snaps because it was pretty clear that he wasn't capable of holding up against the Jags. So they had to go to different options. But this is your OC explaining to us why he got to play and got to start.
Yeah, I think just every single week, again, it's a body of work. So, City had put up really good, I would say consistent performances day after day of practice, and given an opportunity to go out there and compete, nothing more, nothing less. We're going to always have an opportunity to compete. I don't think anything's fixed, and that's what practice is for. So,
like, sometimes you want your coaches to be adaptable. You don't want them to be stuck in the mud. And if a guy starts to show himself, it's like one of the refrains of a frustrated fan base in college football. Why aren't the freshmen playing? How come they keep playing the older guys when clearly the freshmen have to be better? I'm going to need the Texans to stick with what they know. I mean, it's not great, the prior options, but I don't know what City Sal could have showed you. Unless we're just going to say the lights are too bright. Once he started to actually go against defenders he didn't know very well, they just kicked his ass. And I guess you're playing scout team. I don't know if they go good on good in practice during game week. So maybe he's playing scout team. How much real physicality is going on if he looked so good in practice that as soon as he got out on the field against real dudes, he looked as overmatched as some guy you just brought up from the practice squad should? Let's not do that again.
Yeah, yeah. It is something where it's like the flexibility and the, like, always evaluating the guys in your team and, giving guys shots. Like, yeah, sounds great. That probably, if you're going to err on one side, err on that side.
I need some discernment.
This one did not work.
I'm not against experimentation. Hell, they did the little pitch to Woody Marks and scored a touchdown from in close.
Yeah.
Love that. Hey. Love switching it up, trying something new.
He's adaptable.
Yeah. I just don't know how that came about.
Yeah.
But he told us it just didn't work. And,
and a little bit, again, overall in the negative. I'll give him positive points for the idea. I'll also give him positive points for
or correcting it.
The hook after 9 snaps.
Yeah, we've seen enough.
That in and of itself is like, okay, that is actually pretty impressive. That
they didn't stick with it.
Yeah, that you're able to just be like, nope, never mind.
Yeah. Did you think Davis Mills gave someone a little tap? Hey, you want me to survive this game?
Yeah.
Let's
just walk by. 62 is going to kill me.
Yeah. Do you want to see Graham Mertz out there? What are you doing?
I imagine this is like, as we always see it, where the coach or quarterback coach is sitting in the middle of the bench with the iPad, and then you have the starting quarterback on one side and the backup on the other. I imagine Davis Mills said, "Do you want to see Graham Mertz in this game?"
While like sitting there,
3 feet away from him.
What are you doing? Graham, come on. And then Graham goes, "Yeah, you're right. All right, we'll go to break. We got one short segment to go when we come back. 713-780-3776. It is a short segment, but we'll get to you if you get in before then. Me and Sean, for a couple more minutes, we'll be back. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We haven't talked much college football. We'll get into that tomorrow. But the CFP has a shakeup. Not with the rankings, because those came out on Tuesday. We know those won't change until next Tuesday. But Mac Rhodes, former... Was he in Houston? Am I remembering that correctly? Was he the AD for the Cougs at some point? He had to step down. He's currently the Baylor AD. And he has to step down from being the chair of the CFP for reasons that he won't get into. He was involved in, he was the Cougs AD.
Yeah.
About 10 years ago. Until 2015, about a decade ago. Then went to Missouri. Now he's at Baylor. He had to step down. They won't specifically tell us why, but there was an incident earlier in the year where he got into, as it's put in the article, a confrontation with a Baylor football player, Michael Trigg, on the sideline at a game over the color of his undershirt. I don't know why Mac Rhodes would be talking to a football player at that time about his shirt that he's wearing being the wrong color, but that's what it's being positioned as. Now, Baylor investigated it, said the matter was closed, but now he is no longer the guy in charge of the CFP. They'll find a replacement, but it's for personal reasons. So Mac Rhodes won't be the guy you see talking and explaining why this team is ahead of this team going forward.
I mean, that has to be the worst job in sports, right? Maybe not in sports.
It's not
in I don't know, sports administration.
Like, he is their PR. He's the face of a committee that, for the most part, everyone's going to have a problem with.
Joey Galloway and Booger McFarland and Reese Davis are going to ask you very pointed questions.
And you have to dodge and avoid it and not really explain things.
And you might agree with them, but the committee disagrees.
Yeah,
you have to...
Hey, guys, I'm with you.
I would love another Big 12 team in. I really would. Can't do it.
But Northwestern's president thinks otherwise.
Yeah. Mark D'Antonio thinks these guys stink.
Yeah, they're already a member short because Randall McDaniel, I don't think it's the former offensive lineman. He might, I don't want to say what I think. I don't know if he's still with us, but it's not him, but it's a guy named Randall McDaniel. He's still alive, thankfully. I was getting a little scared because I remember him as a player and I liked him quite a bit. But it's a different Randall McDaniel. And that guy has already stepped down, so they're now two members short.
I feel like this is like a Knives Out movie, where it's like slowly there's going to be less and less.
Oh, it's going to be a problem. What if they wind up like five people?
It is, at the end of the day, it will just be Mark D'Antonio picking teams.
Well, somehow Michigan State.
Because I feel like he would outlast them all.
Somehow Michigan State is in the rankings.
What, 24?
Yeah, that's weird. Like, he's not
even fixing it for them to be
in. He's not even nuts enough to put them in the actual playoff, because that would draw too much scrutiny. But hey, good losses everywhere. For the Michigan State Spartans.
Yeah, every team that they lose to is just ranked above.
Well, he's also a former Cincinnati coach.
Ooh,
as well.
Good for the Bearcats.
Yeah, so if Cincinnati winds up in the top 12 without even playing in their title game, now you know why. Because Mark D'Antonio's one of six members remaining as guys keep getting picked off.
It's like...
And ladies.
Yeah, I would love... Or they're just like, hey, how about noted pundit whoever steps in.
Can they replace him with like a fired coach? Mac Rhodes gone, Brian Kelly in.
Ooh, that's a good idea. That's way better than like, hey, let's have Kirk Herbstreit on one side and Danny Cannell on the other.
Yeah,
that's fair and balanced. Let's have SEC honk. Let's have Peter Burns and Danny Cannell pick the teams.
Give me
no, but
recently
like
fired coaches,
disgruntled former coaches,
and see where they land.
James Franklin just sitting there with his arms folded.
Yeah, I don't know what you guys.
I guess Oregon's good.
I don't know what you guys see in Ohio State, honestly. Yeah,
I thought Oregon was good. Billy, they beat us.
Billy Napier
cost me my job.
Throw him in there. That should be as like depending on the week, got teams rise and fall. If a head coach gets fired, he knows more football than this committee member. Roll him
that
in there.
That is true. We saw when Romo took over in the booth, it was just like, oh yeah, a starting quarterback from last year is now calling game.
I don't even want Brian Kelly to have that much say. I just want him to be the chair so he has to talk every
Tuesday. Oh, yeah. Or he has to
every Tuesday
be in the firing squad.
Yeah, answer questions. Guys, stop asking me about LSU. Yeah. They're 5-4.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the teams who were
They're
actually
not even a quality
debating.
Win.
Yeah, cut it out. Mostly my fault, but still, cut it out. All right, Rich Eisen's up next. Will he have better ideas than we do? Probably not, but they'll be different. He's up next.
Then they will be different.
He's followed by Jeremy and Joe. Chances we're done for the day. What does that mean?
And nobody landed more punches than Danielle Hunter.
Got me feeling.
40 sacks. Motor. Power. Speed. A wrecking machine indeed.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.